top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for Thursday, September 9 in the headlines. Dominica Business Forum member and BCAT President Anthony Liblar urges the health authorities and business owners to adopt a holistic approach in fighting the COVID crisis. PAHO Director Dr. Carissa Etienne urges countries to prioritize expectant and lactating mothers for vaccinations as COVID-19 represents a serious risk for pregnant women in Latin America and the Caribbean. And President Biden says destruction caused by Hurricane Ida shows why infrastructure must be rebuilt in America, referencing climate disasters facing America to make the case. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. The details after this.
It's the end of summer madness sale, and it's only at Courts Optical. For a limited time only, buy one pair of glasses and get the second pair free. Plus, if you come in before September 17th, you will get an extra 30% discount or special offer when you trash your old pair of frames in the optical price bin. No cash, no problem. Shop with Ready Finance and pay $0 for 60 days. Plus, walk away with a free pair of sunglasses. Make an appointment online today at CourtsOptical.com and ask us about our free blue block and free eye exams. Beat the summer blues and save on your new eyewear with our end of summer madness sale. Terms and conditions apply. Optical, value you can see.
Member of the Dominica Business Forum and president of BCAT, Anthony Liblar, is urging the health authorities and business owners to adopt a holistic approach in fighting the COVID crisis.
We're speaking about all hands on deck, and we have to look at business continuity, the importance of lives and livelihood. Business cannot function without lives and livelihood. All our businesses depend on the general population. We depend on the general population as employees, we depend on them as managers, we depend on them as the people purchasing our services and goods. So we cannot function without people. So it's important that we look at COVID based on impact it has on livelihood and lives. And we're fooling ourselves in business if we think that we don't care how it affects the student or how it affects the retired person.
Liblar says there are issues which have been neglected by the health authorities, which led to the COVID spikes and death.
So let's look at a few things. Let's look at where we are in the statistics. Worldwide today, we have over 200 million people tested for COVID-19. And out of that, we have 4.5 million people died. According to the data, there are 5.5 billion people who have been vaccinated at least one dose, some of it maybe two doses together, so that's 5.5 billion, maybe half of that really in terms of persons. But something happened in July and we seem to not to want to talk about it. We talk about the bikers, yes, we shishishi about activities on the Bayfront, on the towards the bridge, the weddings, the fetes, the signing of contracts with big amount of people. We don't want to talk about those things. We don't want to talk about we change the protocol for visitors, where the vaccinated mix of the community immediately, even though the data shows that the vaccine are carrier and include carriers. We don't want to talk about the shortened quarantine that we became comfortable with.
He questions the silence on the country's lack of preparedness to access and deal with potential spikes of COVID-19 cases after seeing the issues faced by other small nations and international territories. He spoke at the DBF's virtual discussion on COVID-19 and the economy on Wednesday.
And probably we're a bit asymptomatic generally. And were we prepared for July, August this year? Why are we not talking about our lack of preparedness? Why would the contingency plans for if we cease being a low COVID-19 incident country, what did we, how did we assess our capacity to deal with 100 cases, 1,000 cases? How did we plan for livelihood changes that will come up because of that? How did we deal with how we're going to deal with the lockdowns if we had lockdowns? why didn't we involve more discussion in the private sector and NGO and public sector and come with a common plan for Dominica where all hands are on deck?
What
finances did we allocate? What human resources we had on standby? And how we mitigate the impacts?
DBF member and BCAD president Anthony LeBlanc. DPSU General Secretary Thomas Leiter warns that government must hire persons trained in the specific field to fill management positions within the public and private sector. He discourages the current practice within the public sector of employers hiring people to management positions with little or no training in the desired role. This, he says, ultimately results in horrible relations with trade unions and chaotic environments within ministries.
A good technical person may not necessarily be a good manager. So you may have certain skills. You're a good engineer. You are good whatever it is. But give you to manage a ministry is a different story. And I believe over the years, that is a mistake that we are seeing. Somebody is trained in a particular field and can be very good at what he or she is trained to do. And for whatever reason, you are taking the person out of that area and then you're making them a permanent secretary. The person has not been trained
in management, in HR,
at that level. How do you expect that person to perform?
DPSU General Secretary Thomas Leiter. Dominica State College President Dr. Donald Peters says COVID-19 has brought about some real health and logistical challenges to Dominica. And as a result, he says the college has had to become very innovative in creating and in delivering education in this unexpected pandemic environment. Wednesday, the DSC has started its fall semester and will be delivering all courses online for the first 4 weeks. He was speaking on state-owned DBS Radio.
And after 4 weeks, depending on the prevalence of COVID in the country, we will determine whether to continue online or revert to face-to-face learning. We have had to hire new adjunct lecturers to help us teach all of our sessions this semester. We expect that over 1,600 students, including freshmen, will be learning online. But once again, like we did after Maria and during the COVID lockdown in 2020, we will continue to educate the students of the nation in a safe but academically sound, rigorous environment.
DSC President Dr. Donald Peters. Chairman of the Police Welfare Association, Jefferson Drago, has welcomed the entry of new recruits into the Dominica Police Force. He has commended the government for doing so at this critical time. Drago says these 53 recruits will bring relief to those who are stressed and overworked. He was speaking on DBS Radio.
We've seen a lot of rest days. It is just a beautiful moment for us to know that at least we're going to get 53 new police officers. The amount that we're getting this time around is much more than we have been getting in the past in one batch. However, I want to also let the authorities have been know that the vacancies in the police force is over 100, and we're trusting them that as soon as this batch will have become full-fledged police officers, we'll have another batch of recruits. So we can come up to the amount, the 500, that the police force should be at.
PWA Chairman Jefferson Drago. On September 6 and 7, 53 police recruits, 14 females and 39 males, took the oath of office and will undergo a six-month period of training. National Security Minister Raven Blackmore says the ongoing active recruitment of new police officers is in keeping with the government's policy decision to increase the police establishment from 500 to 600 police officers.
I must add, increasing manpower is not simply about increasing numbers, nor is it about proceeding with business as usual. Therefore, this drive is cemented by the role of the police to protect and serve the citizens of Dominica and to increase capacity and skill within the police force. In order to effectively execute the mandate to protect and serve, police officers need to be more visible and vigilant in their respective communities. Over the years, your government, through the Ministry of National Security and Home Affairs, has intensified its effort to build a robust community policing platform, increase police capacity, and to provide the police service with as many resources as is possible. Therefore, there is a reasonable expectation by government that an increase in manpower will ultimately give rise to greater police presence on the streets and more efficient police response time, and more visible and vigilant police presence and better and more efficient service to the public.
National Security Minister Raven Blackmore. There appears to be no other solution than to make vaccines mandatory, laments prominent businessman Carl Nassif. Speaking at a virtual business forum panel discussion last night, he made clear his stance on mandatory vaccination. He said persons do not have the right to infect and potentially kill others, alluding his statement regarding unvaccinated persons, although both non-vaccinated and vaccinated persons have the equal ability and potential to spread the contract of the virus.
We need to mandate vaccines or make it extremely hard for the non-vaccinated to be around the vaccinated. We see with the current problem of lack of vaccinations, a lot of economic and social damage coming. It is not one's right to infect others and potentially kill them. That's a fact. The vaccines are safe and effective. Fact, full of data to support this. Dominica is crowded, small shops, small businesses. So the spread is real. The Delta variant spreads much quicker, so it will continue to spread quicker. But I have a few questions. Why are the existing leaders who have been given a mandate to lead not done so, but no vaccinations are the only way? Why has the opposition party not put forward a statement on mandating vaccinations? Why has the unions, churches, DIC not put forward a statement on mandatory vaccinations? Are we all being myopic, short-sighted? I guess history will be the judge, I guess. By the way, our laws allow for mandatory vaccinations. I wonder why. So we believe the top businesses, the top business leaders who have spoken to are ready to agree to mandatory vaccinations. Otherwise, a continual degradation of our people and island will continue. There appears to be no other solution.
Carl Nassif. Meantime, General Secretary of the DPSU Thomas Leiter has stated that the union is encouraging persons to get vaccinated voluntarily.
Not only the unions in Dominica, but throughout the Caribbean and even at the international level, trade unions are in support of vaccination, but definitely not mandatory vaccination. Because at the end of it, what you were doing is that you were introducing a foreign object into somebody's body. And without that person's consent, you have to understand that in case you have to deal with serious complications of that vaccine, which is still in its experimental stage, who takes responsibility for that problem that may arise in the future? So as trade unions, what we do is that we encourage as much as we can. We do it with persuasion to get people to volunteer, because we believe there is something called herd immunity, and we try as much as possible to arrive at that point. So that is the our position on mandatory vaccination. Now, I have heard people talking about it is legal. That is still something that is debatable, and we should not accept that it is that the law provides for it to be done.
Still on the local scene, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Education, Chandler Hyacinth, says teachers who will prepare for online learning this academic year leave room for collaboration among themselves and looks forward to seeing the teachers work together as a team to make things go smoothly.
If you have more than one teacher teaching a subject, being together on the compound will give them an opportunity to collaborate in terms of their lesson planning, their activities. Weaker teachers can get support from stronger teachers. We have the lead teachers at the schools who can provide support to teachers. Bringing them back at their place of work is to provide that kind of support, that kind of team support among our teachers too as well.
Meanwhile, Hyacinth says no decision has been taken on the reopening of the island's preschools.
The centers for early childhood, this can only reopen if the Ministry of Health, the Department of Environmental Health, gives permission to do so. as the carers themselves will come in direct contact with the children. The children are coming from different homes. Caregivers themselves come from different homes. The Ministry of Health is to decide on the protocols here. They are the ones that will decide when those facilities open.
P.S. in the Ministry of Education, Chandler Hyacinth. September is the month of the elderly, and September 12th is Grandparents' Day. On that day, the council encourages the general public, including the media, to dedicate or focus their Sunday, September 12th radio programs on grandparents. President of the Dominica Council on Aging, Ophelia Olivache Marie, is encouraging people to call in to say why they love their grandparents or what they did or will do for their grandparents on that day.
The theme for the month of the elderly is older persons embracing the digital age. I must say we are on target. Older persons communicate with the council, with their children overseas and their friends on WhatsApp and other social media. We even use Zoom and other devices to have meetings. We are able to buy and sell using our devices. So children, please honor your grandparents and show them how to use those devices. We would like you to do that not only today, but always and in many different ways. Give them flowers or small tokens. Help them with chores. But most of all, as you do those things, love and respect them.
President of the Dominica Council on Aging, Ophelia Olivache Marie. And it is only fair that we all protect ourselves and the elderly during this time. This from Health Coordinator, the Eastern Caribbean Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist, Priscilla Prevo. She was speaking at last evening's Ministry of Health COVID-19 update. Prevo stated that we as a community must step up to the plate and aid our elders during this COVID crisis, as it is the right thing to do.
And I'm saying that we do all that we should do to protect the elderly at all costs. It is really not fair. It is only fair that you do what you must to protect them at all costs. Contact your health team and get them vaccinated. You as well should get tested regularly and vaccinated to offer another layer of protection. Some elderly who live alone may need assistance in collecting groceries, paying bills, or collecting medication. I don't think we should allow these individuals to be out in the public accessing those services. Relatives, neighbors, or friends should step up to provide such services while maintaining the protocols. Protect the mental and emotional health of the elderly. Encourage positive thoughts and spare them the scare tactics from conspiracy theories. Ensure they have the correct information about COVID.
In other news this afternoon, warning that COVID-19 represents a serious risk for pregnant women in Latin America and the Caribbean, Pan-American Health Organization Director Carissa Aitian urged countries to prioritize expectant and lactating mothers for vaccinations. We know that if pregnant women get sick, they have a higher risk of developing serious COVID symptoms and more frequently require ventilation and intensive care when compared to women who aren't pregnant, she said during her weekly press briefing. They also have a higher chance of delivering their baby early or prematurely. So let me be clear, she continued. PAHO recommends that all pregnant women after their first trimester, as well as women who are breastfeeding, receive the COVID-19 vaccine. She added that COVID vaccines approved by the WHO are safe to administer during pregnancy and are a critical tool to protect expectant mothers during the pandemic. And turning to climate disasters facing America, President Biden says Hurricane Ida's destruction shows why infrastructure must be rebuilt. The president highlighted the issue during the tour of the flood damage in New York and New Jersey. He says climate change is now everybody's crisis. Nancy Cordes is at the White House with more on Biden's agenda.
While the president was touring that devastation, he said it was evidence of a, quote, code red moment when it comes to climate change. And he pushed for billions of dollars in new funding that he said would help protect Americans from the next disaster.
Thank God you're safe.
President Biden toured a New Jersey neighborhood littered with sofas, TVs, and toys. The remnants of Hurricane Ida dumped nearly 3 months' worth of rain on Manville in about 5 hours.
We're now living in real time what the country's going to look like. And if we don't do something, we can't turn it back very much, but we can prevent it from getting worse.
Even in the disaster zone, he struggled to escape the challenges dogging him back in D.C. Protesters heckled him about the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. That issue, plus a resurgence in COVID cases, are dragging his approval ratings down to just 44% in a new poll. Looking to get back to firmer footing, President Biden pressed Congress yesterday for a massive cash infusion, $1.2 trillion to make the nation's infrastructure more resilient, and $3.5 trillion on social spending, aimed in part at tackling some of the root causes of climate change.
We have to take some bold action now.
But Republicans argue the second package is simply too pricey for a nation that just spent trillions to tackle COVID.
We should maybe hit the pause button.
A few moderate Democrats, like West Virginia's Joe Manchin, are balking at the price tag, too.
Joe, at the end, has always been there. He's always been with me. I think we can work something out, and I look forward to speaking with him.
But here's a wrinkle. Overnight, Axios reported that Manchin supports a package that is less than half the size of the one that the president is supporting, $3.5 trillion worth. And so what that means is that if the president can't get Manchin on board, his plan does not stand a great chance of passage in a 50-50 Senate.
And that's the midday news. But first, a recap of the headlines. DBF member and VCAT President Anthony Libla urges the health authorities and business owners to adopt a holistic approach in fighting the COVID crisis. PAHO's director urges countries to prioritize expectant and lactating mothers for vaccinations. And President Biden says destruction caused by Hurricane Ida shows why infrastructure must be rebuilt in America. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Of the hour news as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and